Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody have a good weekend?
Yeah. How was your weekend? You had a nice long.
Yep, it was awesome. We were up in the Wyoming range in Wyoming, up there south of Jackson by about 50 miles. My wife and daughter were riding up the trail on Saturday. Yeah, it must have been Saturday. They encountered a group of panicked hikers coming down the trail who had just had a close encounter with a grizzly.
But you avoided the grizzly.
Yeah, I was down with the grand boys at the bottom of camp. So, yeah, they avoided the grizzly. Yeah,
was it awesome. Actually a grizzly, do you think? Are there grizzlies in that area?
Oh, absolutely. You bet. There are. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's primary. Nobody camps in a tent up there. It's
right next to Yellowstone. I mean, yeah. So yeah,
it's quite a bit further south from Yellowstone, but it's a prime area for grizzlies for sure. All right. Well, the day's gotten off to a really great start already, I see, but let's
I know. Oh my gosh. Somebody give me some good news.
Mark, I believe that's your job.
Don't fail us now.
And actually, Mark, I think you are on deck per the agenda. So let's hear what you've got for us.
Well, commissioners, I know that you were copied on the information from Carrie, and she has announced her resignation, and it will be official as of July 24th. So we're within a 2-week window, as she anticipates taking the public health position in Moffitt County. I've already been on the phone this morning. Oh,
let me interrupt. Would you say that again, please?
Commissioner Corrigan, we received, and I believe you have gotten now copied on a resignation letter from Carrie Latreau as our public health director. And she has stated that she will be, officially her last day will be July 24th. And it's her intent, in my conversation with her this morning, it's her intent that she's going to accept the position as the Moffitt County Public Health Director.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
So I've been, Carrie and I visited at 9 a.m. this morning. We jumped off the recovery call so we could have that conversation. I've already been in touch with Kathy Nelson, and we will begin immediately to begin to recruit for the position, but more importantly even, make sure that we've got a transition planned out for when Carrie steps aside on the 24th, that we have got somebody that's going to be there later that day, certainly the next day, to just continue all the very, very important efforts that we've got underway under the heading of public health. So as we conclude this morning, commissioners, I'll be back on the horn with Kathy to, as we outline just exactly what those process and procedures are going to be, and begin our canvassing immediately. I will also, and maybe Eric can help with this. It's my understanding that we, again, were mandated to have that 60-day window in terms of the cooperative relationship between Moffitt County and Rout County. And if I understand correctly, Eric, that was going to extend till August 22nd. So officially, even though she may be the new public health director for Moffitt, we may still have that relationship going forward until August 22nd per the cooperative agreement between Rout County and Moffitt County. And I'll let Eric maybe weigh in on that.
I don't think so, not unless Moffitt County wants to offer that. The agreement only contemplates that Carrie's as a Rout County employee and that we share her time with Moffitt. That's the arrangement. So her resigning from Rout County would essentially, I think, void the agreement.
Well, the agreement's not specific to Carrie.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's specific to public health director.
Right.
But then our interim public health director, whoever that might be, would still have that responsibility. Would that individual not?
Well, I didn't really come from that angle, because isn't it moot if she goes to Moffitt?
I guess it would be moot to the extent that Moffitt County no longer needs our a shared public health director, but I guess that's up to them. It's an odd situation, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we need to facilitate the separation and move on, unless Carrie's interested in helping us through the interim here. And I guess, and Mark, you'd know better. You conversed with her during, you know, the 9 o'clock. So I actually commented on this last week. I said, we were talking about this
yeah.
separation. And I joked, well, you know, it could be that she decides to go work for Moffitt County. And I don't think that's out of rage. Oh, well.
that's her choice, I guess.
Well, it seems to me that one of us, or Mark maybe, should be contacting Moffitt County to inquire as to whether or not Moffitt County sees the need to continue the relationship through August 22nd. Because I agree, practically speaking, that doesn't make any sense anymore, regardless of who the individuals are. Or I could call up Don. I'm happy to call up Don. I imagine that'll be an interesting conversation. Matter of fact, Mark, I think I will call Don. It's on my list. I'll call Don Cook after this meeting's over and inquire as to their desire to continue this relationship beyond July 24th.
Good for her. You know, we heard last week, I think you were gone, Tim, but it was on Friday that Moffat County had made a pretty good offer to her. So
they've been asking her to come work for them for months. This is not new.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. And I imagine it's going to be an easier task over there than it is here right now. So given their disease prevalence, et cetera, et cetera. So good for her. Yeah, that's great. So does that do you guys agree that that would be a good thing for me to do, is just give Don a call and kind of ask, hey, what's up? What do you want to do between, do you really want to keep this agreement in place through the 22nd, or should we?
Well, I guess you can, but didn't Eric already contact their attorney and say, if we, our desire would be to terminate this earlier, if that works for you all.
So practically speaking, this feels like them terminating the relationship earlier than August.
Yeah, but there's still a contract. I assume there needs to be some kind of notice given that the contract will be terminated as of.
Well, we stated pretty clearly that it was our intent to terminate it sooner rather than later. And so it would seem to me that it's at their option right now if they want to terminate it immediately.
So I guess, and I'm all right with all of that, but we need to figure out what we're doing in the interim for sure. Yeah. So
that seems like it's all technicalities, but I think to Mark's question, the agreement exists until we terminate it, but the agreement does not mean that Moffat County would contract public health back to us, because that's not what the agreement says.
No, I agree. I'll call Don and just find out what they want to do, and we'll go from there.
Well, I think it's safe to assume they're not going to contract back with us, given the fact that Carrie was the source of wanting to terminate the agreement to begin with. She's too busy, too stressed to work for both counties. The agreement is in place through apparently July 24th, her last day here. That's the practical view.
But Eric, is there not some kind of technicality of that needs to be documented in some way? I mean, right now we've sent them termination notice for August 22nd, right? So one would assume that some kind of follow-up needs to be done, but it seems like it would just be a technicality.
It is, in my mind. She has resigned. And when you say interim, Doug, what do you mean by that? Between now and July 24th, we still have a public health director.
No, I understand that, Eric. And no, I just worry that 2 weeks, basically, 2 weeks is enough time to get on a full-fledged, and again, I think that was what Mark was talking about, too. We have somebody doing the department head stuff and the rest for a little bit, keeping the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and we have continual schedule, and whether, we throw this on Mo or throw it on somebody else, Scott, or somebody else, or we have somebody out there that we could find as an interim.
That's we do have a backup individual identified, do we not?
We have we've
used, if you recall, commissioners, we had an individual that was helping us with both testing and contact tracing in a volunteer capacity. We put them under a contractual relationship on those rare occasions where Carrie had to take some personal time. And so he's there, and I'm gonna, one of the conversations we'll have today is see about his qualifications and availability to again step in on July 24th. But that's, Doug, to get back to your point, I think that it's important that we find somebody that can serve in that capacity starting on July 25th, that we identify that as soon as possible, because as I think we're all aware, Scott's plate and Mo's plate, their plates respectively are very busy right now. So to add this in would be, I think, maybe somewhat problematic.
Yeah, and I don't want to short the long-term hiring process, and that could take a little longer than the 2 weeks too. So, I mean, heck, we're going to get the thing out, and well, we're not going to get any responses or anything. And it's not like public health people are in a surplus right now anyhow, based on COVID in the first place. So unless we pick somebody else that resigned because they didn't like the atmosphere as well, or, you know, part of the attrition that happened to
Arrington is apparently friends with the guy who resigned from Weld County. Maybe he can call him up for us.
Is that right? That'd be...
Yeah. He said he went, I think he went to school with him or something. But anyway, I mean, to Mark's point, we'll need to presume we need a plan as soon as possible. And that plan needs to start on July 25th. And it probably will not include having a permanent replacement on July 25th.
That's correct, Beth. So commissioners, I pledge to you that, and this is courtesy of the phone call I already had this morning with Kathy. Right now in the HR office, this is job one. So we will begin our recruitment efforts immediately. We will make sure that they are thorough. We will make sure we beat the streets looking for the right qualified individual to come in here and help us here at Routt County. We want to make sure that we land on an outstanding candidate. I believe that we certainly can. But at the same time, we also want to make sure we fill that gap in the interim from July 25th going forward, because we just got to be realistic about somebody coming joining us on a permanent basis. It may be many, many weeks, if not a few months, before we get somebody that can permanently move to Routt County.
For Kathy's benefit, and I'm sure she already knows this, but there were, when Carrie was hired, there were some other qualified candidates that made a list of finalists for that job. So it might be helpful to at least alert those individuals that the job is open again.
Could I offer just some observation, and this, I apologize, this is not legal, and I'm certainly not speaking for Carrie, but it became apparent, at least during this crisis, that being a department head offered a lot more duties and responsibilities that may have detracted from being able to focus on the virus and other, as she kept reminding us, other public health areas and issues that don't go away just during a pandemic. But having to manage a department and do personnel stuff on top of everything else may not be the best course of action. Just an observation more than anything.
I think we should definitely, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, Eric. I also don't think we should speak for Carrie. She was trying to manage two public health departments, not one. But I do think, to Eric's point, you know, Mark, gathering any feedback she has on how to give the best support we can to someone in that position, especially given the current situation, would probably be really, really valuable.
Especially if we're going to be shooting for, you know, an immediacy. So we need to fill that gap, but we need to have somebody who's used to our processes and systems maybe take over the management role and allow this individual to come in and serve the public health function to be focused.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
So commissioners, those are very apt observations from Eric, and appreciate that very important feedback. So ironically, two of the most important items that I had for discussion this morning were both public health related, both on staffing and space allocation. And you can see there in my notes that we have been working very diligently over the past week to 10 days to staff up with what those needs are right now, those resource needs. We've got four nurses that have been brought on through the Worldwide Nursing Organization. We have got, not only have we had the advertisements out the door, but we have already hired several contact tracers. The epidemiologist position has been posted as of late last week, with a deadline of July 22nd for applications. We have boosted the administrative assistance position to a 40-hour position. And as I note in my communication, commissioners, we are getting her some additional help and assistance so that she's a little bit more comfortable with our systems, with our process, in being more of an office manager. We're going to get her some mentoring and some coaching, and that will begin even this week. So we're trying to do the best we can to staff up as quickly as we can and make sure that we've got that good, strong bench strength that goes along with this. And of course, now we'll add into this some of the recruitment efforts and the interim efforts that we talked about a few minutes ago. Tangential to that same discussion is physical resource allocation. We followed up late last week with Kelly, and she was very gracious in offering the space in the cabin. We think under the circumstances right now that probably offers some of the best physical space for us. So Robert in IT and others, along with facilities planning, is making sure that we can do all of the transition to make sure that we get some of those public health folks into that building, into that facility, and make sure that we get them in a good workable workspace going forward. So, and then lastly, if we do not need that facility on the west end of the steamboat that had been leased in the past, then I've instructed facilities planning to commence whatever efforts we need to make to go ahead and terminate that lease going forward. I'm not sure we'll have all the contractual relationships with that, but we'll make sure we walk through that correctly, because it appears right now, commissioners, we simply don't have a dedicated use for that space. There's no reason for us to hold on to it in the meantime. With that, I'll hold off and let you provide any feedback or any questions.
So, you know, not seeing the facility out there, and I guess nobody's really described it. I thought we were, and then we heard rumors that, well, it was a shared facility, and I thought it was a separate entrance, that we had our own portion of the thing. And then, you know, I don't know, we didn't hear a lot of all this stuff, you know, to even know what we could use it for and how we're moving forward. And especially right now when we're still, well, we're not talking right now about adding the health services building either, because of the budget thing, but yeah, so I don't know. I it wouldn't be bad to go take a tour of this thing since we have it. I thought the rent was pretty reasonable at that point in time as well. So, but right. Anyhow.
Doug, I'm happy to do that because, quite frankly, I have not taken a physical inspection of the facility as well. I'm relying on some of the descriptions that I've had from staff members, from department heads. I know one of the things that's been used as a common term is this is a co-work space. So, unfortunately, you don't have, you wind up co-mingling with other folks that are also sharing that space. And of course, I think we can all appreciate the fact that if you're in the public health realm and you've been in some environments that maybe are a little bit different than everybody else, it creates maybe an uncomfortable situation for not only your own folks, but certainly the other co-workers that are in that space as well. That's at least my understanding of the location.
Yeah, so I wouldn't, if you have time, Mark, I'm sure trust your opinion. I'd like to hear the layout of the thing, and you know, maybe you can write us a short memo. Hey, this is, take some pick couple pictures, and this is the layout, or even if get, you know, I'm a visual type person a lot myself, and I like to see what the heck, what it is and what we got and the rest. So even if Steve does that, but I'd appreciate it if you have an opportunity to do that, that would be good.
Ta-da. I'll do that, Doug, you bet. And we'll take some photos too, so you have a better idea physically what the layout is.
And I really positively understand the concern if it's a co-work environment, even if it's contact tracers that would be stuck out there or stuck out there, put out there, housed out there, nicely said, whatever, but it's still, yeah, I could understand if it's a co-work area, I wouldn't be very comfortable in that kind of an area either, so, yeah.
You bet. Commissioners, on another physical space discussion, I put in a note about the reopening, the graduated reopening of the county annex this week. Quite frankly, it went well. We did check-ins in our department head meetings last week, asked for feedback from everybody, especially those department heads that are located over there. But really, quite frankly, the feedback was really quite good. Everybody seemed to adjust appropriately, including any patrons that were coming in. We didn't get nearly the kind of foot traffic that we saw in the historic courthouse, but I think there was an appreciation that if somebody felt like they needed to turn in some paperwork or they wanted to have a discussion that maybe was a little bit easier to have with a staff member, that they were able to do so. Ray and Steve have also been able to navigate our custodial arrangements. You may recall that was part of our discussion as well, to ensure that we are in a good place in terms of the sanitation and all our health protocols. We've been able to walk through that as well. So all the way around, I think we're pleased with the reopening of the annex at this point, and really no further updates beyond that. Commissioners, also this week, we've got a scheduled meeting with you on the capital projects follow-up. We are gonna have Dan and Ray join us on that. Mike will also probably chime in, but we do feel that you're gonna be in a position, you're gonna be in a posture financially that you'll probably be able to accommodate some of those capital projects that several months ago, as to use the term Tim likes, that you put the pause button on. We may be able to go ahead and double click that button and you have an opportunity to move forward. Now, as Ray described last week, some of the things we're navigating is who's available contractor wise during our project season, that we can still grab them and schedule them, mobilize them so that those things can still move forward. But I think that Ray has a good workable list for that. The other notation I wanted to add is that in visiting with the city manager this past week, their May sales tax receipts were only slightly down over 2%. And I think we can all appreciate that is astounding given where we were several months ago and what we were worried about. And certainly a dramatic turnaround from April receipts, which I believe that the city was down between 24 and 26%. They are very optimistic about where June receipts are going to be. So we are seeing a much better return on sales tax returns. And so that's certainly a good note of optimism going forward financially. Department head reports. I know Doug mentioned an interest in making sure that we're up to speed in terms of getting those department head reports. I provided a reminder last week for everybody to be very vigilant about turning in those reports to you. As you know, we split the month so that you get half mid-month and the other half at the end of the month. But I double-checked on that. There were a few people that didn't understand that they were supposed to send them directly to you. I clarified that, but you should be getting those in good order. And certainly, as always, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have. Please communicate with them directly if you have questions about some of the things they put in those reports. They're for your benefit, and we want to make sure that you're up to speed in terms of all the activities going on in those respective departments. The last thing, commissioners, is just, I'll just say that it's food for thought right now. And I think that it might be timely just to go ahead and introduce this particular conversation. I think it's been, certainly for me, it's been readily apparent that your public information office has been a very, very, very important activity and function for the county over our pandemic period. But I think that we also recognize that it's serving a variety of important functions and benefits for us going forward. And I, as you talk about that, and I know you've had conversations, I just want to provide you my recommendation and my endorsement that I think it would be, it would position the county well if you make maybe some more long-term plans, I'll call it long-term plans through the end of the fiscal year, to make sure that you've got an ongoing public information office. At the same time, I want to introduce another notion, and that is, I think this individual is well qualified and certainly a communication specialist that I think that Robin can help us on the grant writing front as well. And that's something that I would like to continue to pursue with her so that we can get some double duty going forward. And I think, again, it would be a very important asset for Rock County. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks and invite any comments or any feedback.
I'd worry about that a little bit, Mark. I mean, Moffitt County might be in the market for a PIO themselves. Get this person all trained up and ready to go. But I agree, at least with the PIO function. There's no question that the need for consistent, reliable, credible information coming out of the county is absolutely crucial. We've seen what happens statewide and nationally when that doesn't happen. And so I absolutely endorse the some longer term commitment to the PIO position. I haven't spent much time thinking about the grant writing side of things.
I'm fine with, I think we can expect that we'll need PIO support for COVID through the end of the year. I don't know why we would not. So I would definitely support that. I just think we probably need to have more conversation about the grant side of things. I mean, I have no doubt that grant writing could be a benefit. I guess probably more conversation about, is there actually time for that in addition to what's already being done? And then we had talked more about kind of on the grants administration side. So not just writing grants, but really thinking about how all these different funding sources fit together and identifying if there are other funding sources that we're not tapping into. We had talked about the follow-up that's required when you have grant money and the reporting and some of those kinds of things. So while I'm fine with the idea of PIO also doing grant writing, I'm not sure if that's everything that we had discussed in terms of the benefits of that kind of a position. Because if it's really just writing the grants that we already would have been getting, then it's freeing up some folks' time, but it's not necessarily bringing additional dollars into the county. So I think we should talk through that a little bit more. I assume we would like Robin to write a press release regarding Carrie's resignation.
I was planning on it. I'm already drafting it. What would be great from you all, if I can just interject, is if I could have maybe a quote from each of you about Carrie's service. If you could
Sorry, Robin, you broke up. You want us to email you something?
Yeah, if you each could email me a quote about Carrie's service, that would be great, and I would include it in the press release. I've also asked Carrie for a quote, or I could pull something from the letter that she sent. You know, Mark,
there wasn't
anything help
in the letter that she sent.
Oh, okay. All right, great. I asked her for a quote as well. So I'm working on something. I'll have something for you guys soon.
Thanks, Robin.
It was pretty much a blank resignation. So just we're residing on the 24th. So go back to the PIO. I'm fine with that, especially during this COVID time. I don't want to make anything long-term plans until we get a new county manager on board and the rest. And we figure out, I still think there's some value in restructuring the department heads and the thing, and that doesn't include potentially an assistant county manager. It might end up, but again, I don't want to make that decision. I think we need to have a new county manager on board. You know, maybe we have, like we started off doing the public works department, and maybe public safety department or something like that, and then having some sub managers off the manager. The PIO, you know, and again, Robin, you've done a great job. I appreciate it. And we definitely want to keep you on and keep for right now when we're dealing with this the COVID thing. I've not been an advocate of the PIO because usually we're either covering stuff or we're trying to, which I try to, I've always been one, you guys all know me as run under the radar. So just try not to get too much out there in front so you can get questions or whatever. Well, I don't agree with that. So anyhow, I like running under the radar, and people that have a problem with, you know, me, they can come see us and come make public comment. And it's worked for the years. So back to the grant writing, the grant dollars out there are going to shrivel up like the Yampa River shriveling right now. So it's going to be, I think the dollars, I've always been conceptually as a government not being dependent on grant dollars, because when they go away, you have a permanent situation funded by short-term dollars. And that always is a problem to me. And, you know, and I just think right now that, you know, severance taxes are drying up. The only thing that we got going on right now is public health money. And so, you know, and we knew that when we took over public health, part of that was having a PIO for public health. So it isn't so much that it's going to be a PIO for just the commissioners as well. So, and again, I think the other departments, I think the departments found some value in the firm that we used out of Fort Collins. And so I think that could be, we need to get some input from the department heads on how they can use the PIO for some of their services that they'd like to get out that they were doing with the Fort Collins firm as well. So anyhow, the grant writing might be fine. I agree with, I don't know that I agree or disagree with Beth's comment about the grant management, because I firmly believe the department heads, if they're going to have a grant, they have to need to have their fingers on it in a big time. And again, and not being managed out of a central grant kind of a place. And anyhow, so those are a couple of comments. Thank you.
So Doug, the days of flying under the radar, they are gone.
It's only COVID, man.
So I think, I mean, given the comments you guys are making, just thinking on what I was saying before, it sounds to me like maybe, you know, proceeding with thinking about through the end of this year. But as Doug said, I think a broader discussion about what the longer term looks like, not moving forward to right now on that, but I think, Doug, both on the grant side and the PIO side, I think we want input from the department heads on the value to them and kind of understanding what that position would look like and how it would support them, not us just coming up with something. I think, and I do agree that we probably want to do that in conjunction with our new county manager. And that's what we've been discussing all along, is that we wanted that person involved in any kind of restructuring we would do.
So the risk of not, you know, of not keeping it close to the commissioners or county manager and the rest is, and we've seen this in sometimes, you know, so each department then gets their own PIO and each department gets their own grant writers and the rest. And so, you know, I appreciate the centralized part, but I do think that, you know, the concepts need to come out of the department heads with the help of a grant writer or something like that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yep.
I would agree. Robin?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Mark and I have been having conversations. So if you like, based on, because to me, this is also part of strategic planning, and I agree with you with the county manager. So I could just put some thoughts on the, you know, on paper just for you of just kind of what maybe the next, you know, till the end of the year, what could look like, because I agree with you of what you said. There's been a couple of departments that I've helped a little bit as well. And I think there's more opportunities to try to help them as well as what Slate Communications, not just what Slate did, but some of the things that we could do to help with communications, you know, not just public health, environmental health, and emergency management that have been in the middle of COVID-19, but other departments as well. So I'll put something on paper and then socialize it with Mark first before we give it to you, if that works for you.
Sounds good.
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, you know, we hire department heads to be, you know, in charge of their department for the expertise that they bring to the department. It not necessarily, you know, might not necessarily be PIO or grant writing as well. So we understand that too. So, yep, thank you.
Mark, do you have anything else for us or commissioners? We've got 5 minutes before we're supposed to be talking with Eric.
One other follow-up on that. I think, Robin, as you're putting together some thoughts, I mean, you're not going to magically have more time in your day. And as far as I know, we haven't identified anybody to provide additional support for you. So you don't have to answer it right now, but we can't just add things to your duties without figuring out how we cover the rest of what you're working on. And I mean, I do know that if we go forward with the health educator position, some of what you've been doing would be supported by that, you know, the development of messaging and that kind of thing, educational materials. But, you know, you're great, but I don't think you can magically invent more hours in a day. So let's just be realistic about what you can take on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Tim, the only other thing that I was going to add, and I neglected to include that in the physical description of things at the courthouse, we have gone ahead and identified a firm that is going to do the construction drawings for us for the treasurer's office. And this gets back to our security discussion. You may recall that one of the important features that had been identified in the security report and which we felt was something that we needed to accomplish was the installation of the proper windows, protective windows, and the door systems for the treasurer's office. And we've got a firm that's gonna come in and do that for us. We've asked them to be as quick as they can. And then we'll be prepared to bring back to you a proposal in terms of the installation of those components. But that work is ongoing, and we should have something that's gonna come forward to the commissioners, hopefully within the next 10 days.
Very good.
That's the only other item I wanted to share. Commissioner, so that's it for my current reports.
Anything dramatic that I missed on Friday? Sounds like you had a good discussion on potential capital projects that might be brought back to life. What else did you guys talk about? You don't remember. It was a long time.
Well, we talked about the fairgrounds and the weeds and and you saw Ray's email.
Yep, I did.
We talked about public health staffing. We talked about the cabin, you know, the facilities needs. I think you got updates on all those things.
So we don't need to give away our offices right away?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Although mine may become a lactation room from what I understood on Friday. Which is fine, whatever.
Yeah, we're nothing if not adaptable. All right. Well,
my kid is back in daycare.
Congratulations.
Only three days a week, but
too much time on your hands.
I know, right?
Yeah, I had some in-depth discussions with my daughter about her kids going back to school. Very interesting conversations and kind of a different take than what I've heard.
Side note, my sister lives in Austin, Texas. She's a teacher. Everyone in her house has COVID currently.
Ouch.
But they haven't had, none of them have been tested because everything's such a mess. It's not that they couldn't get tested, but they're like, whatever, we already know we have it. We don't care. And so they're just like hunkering down, but she is supposed to go back full time on the 6th. And they're required to do 100% in person by the state. So,
yeah, I guess my editorial.
And her son starts kindergarten this year.
Yeah, my editorial comment would be, and you and I have talked about this, it's tough on teachers every year when they go back and start school because of all the germs and viruses that are running around. If I was a teacher, I would be concerned about going directly back into that environment full time. But fortunately, especially for students, I'm not a teacher. So, Eric, I think. Oh, I'm sorry, Doug. Did you have something before we went to Eric?
Yeah, I guess we got one email, and we just got another email about, you know, the conversation and about, I don't know, I guess us, the Board of Health, intervening on the schools repurposing them. Like going, wow, no, I don't think so. Not until we know what CDPHE is doing or whatever this, or the Colorado school education people are going to be doing. So
I don't see a role for us right at this moment. I think there's a Board of Education meeting tomorrow in Steamboat, and I'm sure the teachers will have the opportunity to say their piece there. And then Carrie, I think, indicated that there's guidance coming out from the state on the 15th, which is in 2 days. So to Tim's point, I understand why the teachers are concerned, but I don't know that there's any action for us to take.
I can tell you from the perspective of a school board member just how much school boards look forward to having county commissioners tell them how to run their schools.
Yeah, but at the same point in time, maybe they're looking for somebody else to be the scapegoat.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we have an important role to fill in the community, don't we? I forgot about that part.
Scapegoaters in chief.
All right. I think we're ready to move on to Eric's update. Eric, is there going to be any need for us to go into executive session today? Was that a no? You can say it out loud.
No.
Okay, very good. Please carry on with your update.
So I just pushed send on an email to our courts. I've been in communication with a detective out of Douglas County on a cold case investigation related to an individual who was adopted here in Routt County. So they're seeking those adoption records. I had to do some research to figure out the process, because it being a sealed record, they're confidential, and there's actually a statutory process involved in getting those records released to an entity such as the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. So we've started that. I would have to go down to the dungeon, which is, Beth, one day I gave you a tour of the basement in the annex, and I think that's where the dungeon is located to try to pull those files, assuming they exist, and confirm that Routt County was the point of finalization of that adoption. So I probably shouldn't be talking about details of the investigation itself, but needless to say, we don't want to be an obstacle to that sheriff's office and just comply with the process. They have to file a request through our local court. So I was giving Peggy Gentles a heads up that that's going to be coming their way. I'm assuming this is a pretty rare event. I know I've never dealt with it before. So I just want to make note of it, because you're going to see time in my time reports about it. And the other item I just want to give you a heads up about and welcome your thoughts. We're revisiting the old conversation about transitioning Mick Hale, the DHS attorney, over to the county attorney's office. Mick has already been told that it's going to happen. We're trying to allay some of her concerns about it. We do have an issue with where to move her physically. So right now, the plan is to leave her where she's at, assuming she's comfortable with that and staying there. As you know, the renovation of the old communications facility is on hold because of the budget issues. And the plan was for the coroner to move into those facilities once they got remodeled. So I'm assuming he's staying put where he's at. So that office will not be available for Mick to transition into. But she would be under our supervision. I didn't check back with you all about it before we move forward, because we've discussed it in the past already on numerous occasions over the last 5 years, I think. So shouldn't be a big surprise to anyone at this point. And I maybe falsely assume that you guys didn't have an objection to that now moving forward. I'd invite any comments.
Well, Eric, it was always my, I agree. It was my assumption, at least, that ultimately that would be the space that would be used. I mean, the existing coroner's office would be converted into legal space at some point in the future.
Right. I know Doug raised an issue of that being a pretty large office for only one person. So I had some discussions with Steve Faulkner about our ability to have another legal assistant in there. Right now, the legal assistant position is vacant. And there was no, I don't believe, any plan to fill that void for now because of the budget situation. Administratively, she would be under the county attorney's office umbrella and supervision. And so, you know, that's a large increase for us because we're so small from a personnel budget standpoint. And then the same allocation methodology would be applied. So the way Linnea and I track our time for child support, child welfare, and miscellaneous services like contract or grant reviews will be the same. We'll use that same system for Mick. And I did talk to Sternad, so he's aware that this is coming. Our goal would be, we discussed it on Friday, and we were looking at the end of August. We want to time it up with payroll. So Dan suggested that might be helpful for our payroll folks. But it looks like end of August, beginning of September.
So elaborate again on that. So that's when that's going to happen. So that's when the transition to the working under the county attorney would happen, or that's when we'd be, well, we still have to get the coroner out of the office to use the office, right?
Right, so the plan is to transition her administratively to the county attorney's office by the end of August. but physically she'll stay put unless we can find somewhere else that's comfortable for her and efficient. And you know, in some ways, this remote workplace environment has helped. And you know, there's an option of that she just remote work, but she's still going to need some office space to, you know, keep records and files and books and everything else that she needs to have at her fingertips and meet with people, obviously.
No, I'm happy. I'm content with you guys' working relationship with Kelly. And again, we've talked about it over the years, Eric. So I'm, you know, and if that's what works the best, that's what works the best. And, you know, I we don't want to short Kelly with the services, but, you know, maybe actually might actually improve the relationship there too. It was interesting on Kelly's worksheet, though. She said, she elaborated that this might be happening, that it was going to save money. And I'm going, yeah, right. That's not saving money. No.
Yeah, I can't anticipate it going in that direction. What I've asked for is budget information. You know, what is their annual appropriation for attorney services? And is it realistic, especially in light of our you know, just, well, I'll just say fluctuating caseload, but it's seemingly always on an upward trend. The last, I'll move on. The last thing I just wanted to let you know about is I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and unfortunately it's in Craig because Dr. Hamilton changed offices, and now he just works in, over in Craig. So I'm going to have to sneak back across the border once I'm done with that one. I was in Craig yesterday for a memorial service, and nobody wears masks. Went to the Super Walmart and almost didn't stay, almost just turned around, walked right back out, but got the few things we needed and ran out the door.
Are the employees wearing masks per the state mandate?
Yeah, I think I saw two that had their mask hanging down off their face, but absolutely zero customers were wearing masks. And that's all I have. Any questions?
When are we meeting with the sheriff?
So the way I understood we left that was that your office would invite him to come when there's time on the agenda. I know that he's out until Wednesday. So maybe if Kendra, Deanna can coordinate with Kim Gittleson to get that on the agenda, this would be my suggestion.
Kendra, Deanna, did you get that?
On it.
Thank you.
Is Kendra still on vacation? She is, right?
She is. She'll be back tomorrow.
That's what I thought.
So, thanks, Deanna.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions for Eric, but I guess I have. So when are we supposed to be meeting with Larry Gilley? I'm just about through all those applications and the rest. So when are we meeting with him?
On Thursday.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I kind of stalled. I'm only up to, I'm in my fifth one right now, but I'm getting more efficient. And I did not work on it over the weekend. So I need to get back to work on that. Anything else for legal staff?
Well, I guess I have another question for Mark. So we got the communication report too from communications. And where are we at? Personnel out there, and maybe Mark, you don't know, but we had the resignation of the supervisor, and then the supervisor was retiring, and so he was succession training. We had Ed working in the meantime with Lori to be up to speed, and then we had the resignation of this. So where are we at with the replacement of the supervisor?
So Doug, I touched base with Kathy on Friday of last week, and we specifically talked about where we stood on staffing at the comm center. You're right. We've got two supervisors that have are no longer with comm center. So right now, it is the Kathy was going to touch base with both Mo and Jason to get updated in terms of where they are in terms of their advertising and recruitment. Shifts have been covered. We've been fine as far as just the day-to-day staffing requirements, but we do have in the queue the need to go ahead and get those recruitments out the door and make sure that we get the process moving forward to make sure that we've got full and complete staffing. And I can have Kathy provide a little bit more of a detailed report as well, but it was just a quick conversation we had on Friday in terms of moving forward on not only the recruitment, but also the promotions, potential promotions for those supervisory positions.
So the other thing that was in there that Jason elaborated on, well, he was going to ask for three more communications people for the 2021 budget. Elaborated on the fact that there hasn't been an increase, three additional and he hadn't had any additional people since for over 10 years. And well, I'm thinking back, so no, that's not exactly the truth. In fact, Tim, you were here when we added on the two staff, the two additional dispatchers, you know, so it's been less than 8 years ago. So, and again, I realize we still have increasing numbers here. And I guess my concern is did the department heads get our memo about the budget preparation about, you know, well, we still going to have a tight year here and where all this.
You're right, Doug. And also that just because you have not had additional FTEs for a period of time is not a justification for FTEs. I mean, are we actually struggling to deliver the service? And if so, that needs to be documented.
Well, and we started off this thing, you know, about 3 years ago, coming up with trying to decide whether how we're going to figure out how we have some other players in this communications role here and funders as well. And we can't keep funding a black hole out here that's just going to keep, you know, with everybody else and doing all the things, you know. Lovely deal that Mary Brown did for us in 1994 or something like that, when they gave us the City of Steamboat's communication center and $130,000 worth of money. So yeah, we're in good shape right now. So meanwhile, the department's running over $2 million or something right now. So,
well,
I would say, go ahead, Beth. Well, I'll just say that he may have kind of gotten that idea from the way the increase in sheriff's deputies went last year. And I've been just regretting that we didn't hold the line on saying, we need some data on your calls for service and your response time. We said that, and then we didn't follow up and we never got that information and went ahead and approved those anyway. And I think in retrospect, that was a mistake.
Well, in fairness, we got data and information showing our lack of ability to provide consistent regular patrols around the county. I mean, and so
we did, and we also had information about, you know, the inability to fill shifts adequately, which is fine, but we did not get the information we requested about calls for service.
Yeah, and then
we didn't hold the line on that, and I think we should have.
Yeah, and I guess the other question would be, even if Jason can identify a percentage or number increase in the number of calls that they're taking, does that necessarily mean that our capacity to take those calls is being exceeded? So, yeah.
That's exactly my point. It shouldn't just be based on the fact that there are more people and that it's been 10 years. We should be requiring some metrics demonstrating that there's a need when there are increases.
I just wanted to bring that up a little bit because, you know, the other thing
we built, I haven't read it yet, so thanks, Doug, for mentioning.
We built an extra station out there at the new comm center. Damn, we should have never done that. You know, so then you got an empty hole, so you got to fill it, you know. So it's going to take three people to fill that empty station out there.
We were planning for the future, Doug, and it's possible the future has not quite yet arrived. I have an idea that maybe Eric would support, which is, perhaps we could negotiate with neighboring counties to enter into some kind of a cooperative agreement for regional E911 communications.
That's our public health agreement works so well.
I know how you meant that, and probably doesn't warrant a response on my part, but I want to remind you that we were maybe not close, we were trying to get our communication center to deliver its services from Craig, meaning that it would have been under the state's functioning, but they rejected that pretty much out of hand. I don't know how hard we tried to get that done, but there was that attempt. I would support that if we can just move them entirely. But as to your suggestion, yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, it was interesting. You're right, Eric. There was that talk, and there was, you know, understanding that that not only the state, but the BLM certainly has their own dispatch center. And there was some idea. I remember talking with Chad Stewart, the former district ranger for the Forest Service, and he had some experience with a regional communication center in New Mexico that covered like half the state, and he thought it was a great model. So, you know, we should keep our minds open to other solutions.
Well, it's not just personnel and those types of issues. Craig Dispatch has redundancy, and we apparently still don't have redundancy over our systems, such that if ours goes down, it kicks over to Craig Dispatch anyway. So
no, that's not true. We developed redundancy with Grand County. We have mutual redundancy with them.
That's not what I'm talking about. There's this CenturyLink problem that we can't seem to resolve.
All right. Well, I don't think we're going to close the loop on that conversation today.
No. Did you guys see that the highway bar had a fire? I didn't know if you in Hayden.
How bad was it?
Well, they're closed. Other than that, I don't know. Doug, do you know anything?
Yeah, well, it burnt the upstairs part of the big, I don't know how much, but it started in the apartments upstairs, evidently. Oh. And so, yeah, probably, I'm sure there's water damage in the rest. They evidently got it put out pretty quickly, but the picture in the pilot showed it pretty elaborate. A lot of water on the highway street and closed down the highway for a bit, too.
Well, they seem like they're going to be closed for a little bit, at least on what I saw. And I know there's some fundraising going on for their employees and that kind of thing. So just a bummer.
So it looks like Kathy is on, and she maybe could provide some input on the comm center and the supervisors if we wanted to ask her that. So that's the only other thing. I'll quit bringing things up so we...
I don't know how much input we need. I mean, if Kathy wants to say something, that's fine with me. But I think you were just raising the point, Doug, of, hey, maybe not the year to be asking for a 3 FTE increase. I don't know if there's more that we really need to talk about now.
I don't know if you need to talk more about it. The only thing I was going to say is ever since I think they changed their schedule where they weren't allowed to have overtime or they were restricting comp time, they have had scheduling problems. And so they have pretty significant morale problems over there based on having to get that 24/7 coverage handled without accruing additional time. And so I think that's primarily why they want to add people, whether it should be three people or not, or, you know, whether it's the appropriate time. I think that has to get discussed, but I know that their people are really struggling with the current schedule that they have in place. So that's my two cents.
Well, we look forward to Jason's presentation to us.
Yep. Good to know. Thank you.
Okay. What else have we got going on today? Hard to believe in these times that we've run out of things to deal with. And
I have plenty of other things to do. I mean, I can stay here and shoot the shit with you guys all day, but I have plenty of other things to work on.
Yeah, I certainly have some county manager applications to work my way through.
Yeah, I started working on those finally. I've got plenty to do now. I don't have anything else.
Doug, you got anything else?
No, oh, you know, actually I'll just mention, I'm sure you guys saw the article in the pilot about Steamboat Institute moving their Freedom Conference over to Eagle County. I just thought it was so bizarre that the pilot didn't spend 5 minutes Googling what Eagle County's public health orders were to see that they are in fact at the same gathering size limits that we are. I thought it was so strange that they didn't even mention that and just basically printed the Steamboat Institute's press release, as far as I could tell. But anyway, just a comment.
I noticed the same thing. So, oh well. Every county.
Oh well, indeed, Tim. Oh, well, indeed.
I mean, every county has its list of challenges in these times. And, And people need to do what they think is best for themselves and their organizations. And so,
absolutely. No, my frustration was just in the pilot, not doing some fact checking. I thought that was so odd that they didn't even mention anything. Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps they'll take a second look at it.
That would be great.
Commissioners, we have a radio interview scheduled later, and I'm just sending you a briefing document momentarily. But just given everything that's gone on today, if you want to postpone it to later in the week, we can do that. So, what your choice?
Ooh, I don't know about postponing.
I don't think we're going to find a better time, quite frankly. It's already on my calendar, and so it's easier for me if we just keep it, if that's all right with you guys.
Yeah, I think we can muddle through it, don't you, Doug?
So what time was it again?
1:30.
Yep, that'll work. I'll be there. Yep.
Okay, I'll send you a briefing document on it. And then
I think I've got it already, didn't I?
Oh, maybe I did already. Yeah. Hey, I'm working on the next thing.
Okay.
So are we going to dial into the old BCC Zoom site for that, or?
Deanna? Deanna knows.
I'll have the same one. We'll just log off and back on.
Onto this one right here?
Yes.
Okay. There's a link in the calendar invite she sent us. I don't know. Does that?
I believe it's the same one as this one.
I just think that Kendra had said that using this like webinar version was challenging for the radio interviews.
So there is a link in my calendar invite.
Yeah, mine too. Just make sure we're all on the same link. That's all.
Let's just use that one.
Yep, that sounds good. I'll do that. Thank you.
Man, we are all getting pretty technologically adept. Even you, Doug, seem to be showing signs of real skill acquisition in your technical capabilities.
I have one really important note, which is that the Best of the Boat nominations are out, and there is one for Best Beard. So, Commissioner Corrigan, if you want to embark on a public outreach effort to get yourself nominated, just wanted to give you a heads up.
What about Doug? He's got a beard.
But yours is new.
Oh, okay. And mine.
I mean, you guys could compete for best beard if you wanted.
I'll pass. That's fine.
Yeah, I've got my own public outreach challenges coming up. So
yeah, fair enough.
All right. Then we will see you guys at 1:30 for our radio interview. Thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.